Thanks, Jill. Oh, don't you love Jill's jokes? I never know whether she's going to tell me a joke or something serious, so I'm always like on the edge. What's she going to say? Love your sense of humor, Jill. What a start to a morning. How lovely. Just wait for a wee minute or two till everybody's settled down. And it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mamas here today. Oh, we've had a really good morning. And the mums online as well. Hope you've had a lovely morning. I don't eat breakfast, so I just had a wee coffee. But maybe you got breakfast in bed, or maybe you're doing something later, which is going to be a nice time to spend with the family. But today we celebrate you. We celebrate you, mums. We celebrate the joy of motherhood. You made it. Whoa, you're here today. You're in one piece. Hallelujah. Sometimes it feels a bit like that. Each day we get to the end of the day like, oh, I made it. It can feel a bit like that at times. Maybe you're a brand new mum. Maybe you're just starting that journey of joy. Okay, sleepless nights and nappies and all that stuff that comes along with it. Or maybe you're right in the thick of it all with the tantrums and the homework and the meal times and all that stuff. But in amongst it is woven joy, joyful moments. Doesn't matter what the day brings, we can still look at them with love and just be thankful for the gift that they are. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. This can be a bit like a roller coaster. It can be a bit like one minute you're on a high and you're thinking, oh, life is good and everything's going well and everybody's doing what they need to do. And other times you can feel like you've just crashed. And that is the joy of motherhood. And you know what? It is a blessing. Thank you, God, that you chose us women to carry, to nurture, deliver a young life into this world. What an honor and a privilege that is. You know, in women, God created a beautiful place for growth. He created a beautiful place in the unseen for life to be created, for his masterpiece to be woven together and grown with love. And in Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." How beautiful that each one of us here would not be here without our mothers. And for some of us, that might be a joyful thought of how we grew up. And for some of us, that might bring pain. It might be difficult. It might have been a difficult journey. For some of us, we miss our mums, and they're not here at the moment, and we miss that, and we have that empty part, but they're always with us. They carried us, they loved us, and they were with us through our childhood and beyond. We also remember this morning mothers who are like mothers to us. They might not be physical mothers, but they nurture and care for our spiritual lives, and they have carried us through some dark times spiritually. They prayed for us, they've nurtured our spirits and encouraged us in this journey, and they're so valuable. So maybe you've not been a mother, but you've been a spiritual mother in the spiritual sense, and you've looked after someone and cared for them and loved on them and encouraged them in this journey, and that is a privilege and an honor and a blessing. And everything in the physical that God created is represented in the spiritual. So I just want to encourage you, maybe you're in that place and you've not got to that being a mother yet, but you can be a spiritual mother and you can come alongside someone, and that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Hi. Oh, look. Brooke, thank you. What a guy. Oh, thank you, Ian. Much needed. Thank you. You can hear it in my voice. So you're like, that girl needs a drink of water. Oh, so none of us would be here without them. So we celebrate that. We celebrate our mums, and we celebrate who we are today as well, as mums, both physically and spiritually. You know, God knew what he was doing when he chose women, right? No disrespect, guys, don't get all funny. But he did. He knew what he was doing. Just seeing Maxine and Sally up here, and they just are such beautiful hearts, and they've got that love and care to look out for the broken and the lost and the people that are struggling or needing help. That's in us. That's what God created women to be. And yes, we are quite different, but God created that for a reason. Women are able to carry and do things in a different way and a beautiful way. Got a funny story, actually, about the impact that a woman can make, just to make a wee joke. But there was a CEO, a really rich CEO, and his wife, and they were going to this amazing dinner. He was going to get this big award, and they got all dressed up, and they were looking fine, and they got in their car to go to the event, and they needed petrol on the way, so they stopped at the petrol station, and they both got out, and his wife met this man, and it was the forecourt attendant, and she said, "Oh, hi, Paul, how are you?" Long, give him a big hug, and the husband's kind of looking, getting a wee bit like, "Who's this guy? What's this all about?" And she's saying, "Oh, I've missed you so much. How are you doing? How's life?" And big conversation. And the husband just, you know, fills the car up and goes in and pays. Got back in the car and he, you know, got a little bit stroppy. Got a little bit, "Well, who was that then? Who was that guy?" You know, his little confidence had been shaken a little bit. And she says, "Oh, that's Paul. Yeah, I used to go to school with Paul. We used to date." And the husband's like, "What?" And he's like, "Oh, well, bet you're glad you married me, though, eh? CEO of a big company instead of a forecourt attendant." She's like, "No, honey, if I'd married him, he would be a CEO, too." You know, women, you do. You pour in, you love, and you encourage growth. And all these wonderful things. So be encouraged this morning. So when I was preparing this message, I began to look at the Bible for the inspirational mothers in the Bible. And there's so many amazing mothers in the Bible. God values motherhood and he values women and he entrusts some of his most important assignments to women in the Bible. So it's been great to spend some time being inspired, but one stuck out the most to me when I was preparing this word, and that was a mother who plays a crucial role in the delivery of a whole nation from delivery to freedom. A mother who, despite her circumstances, shows tremendous courage during a time of fear. A mother who ramps up her faith levels when things seem impossible. Her name is Jochebed. Does anybody know who Jochebed was? If you've heard of Jochebed, raise your hands. Oh, there's some of the Bible scholars. Well, her name is not actually mentioned in the first part of the story, the big part of the story that we all know. Jochebed was the mother of Moses, and we can read about her in Exodus 2. There's a nice picture up there, beautiful picture. And we've all probably heard the story in Sunday school or in gangs or wherever that may be. And it's a beautiful story. But Jochebed, there was more to Jochebed than just trying to rescue her baby and from the clutches. She, there was more to her, and I want to go into that today. We don't actually find out her name until later on in Exodus 6:20. Whenever we find a bit more detail about her. She was from the tribe of Levi, as was her husband. A bit awkward, I think she was his auntie, actually. But she also gave birth to Aaron, who became the first high priest of the tribe of Levi, and to Miriam, who became a prophetess and a singer and a poet. Proud mum moment. And of course, Moses, who ended up to be the deliverer, the man who led the children of Israel out of slavery and into freedom, with God leading the way too. So we don't find out her name. She's not known at this point, the most famous part of the story. And I just want to encourage you today, as a mum or as a parent, sometimes we feel unseen. We feel unknown. We can feel amongst all of the stuff that goes on, we feel nobody knows who I am. I'm just a mom. I'm just doing this. I'm just doing that. But be encouraged. You're raising the future generation of world changers, of those who are going to make big differences in this world. And every seed of faith that you plant in that child's heart will not come undone, that God can breathe life on it. So in those times when you feel unseen, remember Jochebed, Moses' mother, who wasn't famous. She wasn't one of the big names. And yeah, her name is kind of made known later on in the Bible. But yet, through her faith, Moses survived, and Moses lived to take the people out of slavery and into freedom. After last week's message, who enjoyed last week? Wasn't Lane amazing? So inspirational. These guys live on the front line. As he said, where is your front line? And that really stuck with me. I was like, wow, what a powerful phrase. Where is your front line? And I kept ruminating over it all week. Where is your front line? And as a parent, often we can feel like we're literally standing on the front line for our kids, can't we? It's a dark and confusing world out there, and there's constant things happening that we're having to battle or think about or to protect them. And you know, we want to fiercely love our kids, don't we? And want to fiercely protect them. So we do that, don't we? We think, God, just step in, God. Help us in this time. We want to protect them from the enemy, and we're standing there ready to defend. But it's not us that can do the battle. It says in the Bible, the battle belongs to me, says the Lord. And I think as parents, it's just to remember that it's not our battle, that we can do so much. We can nurture and love and encourage and plant those seeds of faith, but it's up to God to do the rest. And we need to surrender and let go and let God breathe life into them. So Jochebed and Amram, her husband, must have felt like they were on the front line. Can you imagine? I'm going to paint the picture of this time. And in Exodus 1, we read about what was going on at the time. There was a new Pharaoh, and he got a little bit like, what's going on here? These Hebrew people seem to be rising up. They're getting bigger in number, and they're completely going to take over. And he started to get fear that there was going to be a bit of a coup against him. And that fear, he started to operate more aggressively and more ruthlessly, and he placed taskmasters over the Hebrew people, and he made them work harder and harder and harder. And when that didn't work, because the Hebrew people had faith, and they knew the name above all names. They knew how great God was. They never lost that from their heart. They kept being more and more fruitful. And this just made the Pharaoh more and more cross. And he was like, what am I going to do next? So he ordered the midwives at the births to kill all the male children that were born. But the midwives feared God more than they feared man. And they told the Pharaoh, no, we can't, because the Hebrew women are so strong that they give birth before we even arrive. And God had obviously placed in them the right words to say at the right time. So Pharaoh was increasing the fear. He wanted to ramp up the fear, ramp up the pain. And the enemy does that when he sees that we're advancing and we're getting stronger. He's like, sometimes he likes to ramp up the pain level, ramp up the fear, and come at you and try and crush your faith. But when Pharaoh started to do this, the faith levels of the Hebrew people rose up, they increased, they ramped up their faith. Now, if we think back to what that must have been like, growing up in an encampment of slavery as Hebrew people, they would remember the stories of old, of the people that had trailblazed before them, like Abraham and Isaac and Noah, and all of these wonderful heroes of the faith that we read about in Hebrews 11, who journeyed with God. They journeyed with God, and they believed in the unseen. They knew that God's plan was greater, regardless of whether they were going to see that promise fulfilled. They journeyed with God and trusted and had faith that God would deliver them from harm. So these Hebrew people would have grown up with these stories of truth. And I just encourage you to nurture those in your kids and to remind them that our God is great, that He is able to deliver us from pain and fear, that He is able to take us out of a place of bondage and slavery into freedom. So despite their persecution, they became even more fruitful. And eventually the Pharaoh was like, right, this is not working. Just throw all the baby boys into the river. Can you imagine, as a parent, how scary that would have been in those times, especially as a pregnant mother? I can't even think what that would have been like to not know whether you had carrying a boy or a girl and what was going to happen, what was the outcome going to be. So the fear level had increased to the nth degree. But again, Jochebed is a prime example of where faith overcomes fear and instead brings freedom. So I think we've got the verse up here in Exodus 2, verses 1 to 4. It says, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman." I was going to try and read it from there, but that's impossible. I'm going to turn around. "And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him." So I just want to unpack this verse and show you how Jochebed operated in faith. And I think we can take some valuable lessons from this for our lives. And I certainly have been praying over this, and God has been speaking to me massively over these couple of verses. The first one in verse 2, "And she gave birth." Can you imagine again the kind of fear that would be upon you? Is this going to be a boy? Is this going to be a girl? Again, trust. She was trusting. And it says she hid him for 3 months. And I think there's a time sometimes when we need to be wise. And, you know, it says in Psalm 32, verse 7, that God, you're a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. When faced with fear and uncertainty, we need to pray. We need to go into the shelter of the Most High. We need to be in His presence to get strength for the next stage. We don't stay hidden, but there's a time to hide, a time to hide in His presence and to get strength to face the next part of the story. So prayer is so important. I'm sure I can imagine Jochebed with her newborn baby, feeding him and nursing him and just praying and seeking God and asking Him for wisdom. What next, God? I know You've got a plan for this child. I know You've got a plan for me, God. What is next? What should I do? So she was seeking God's wisdom and guidance in those times. And I think for us, we need to do that as well. Sometimes if we're facing fear and uncertainty, we quickly want to do something about it. The instant reaction is, how can I fix this? How can I sort this? And got the, freeze, flight, or something. Can't remember the other one. Three Fs anyway. So we've got that response. That's our natural. But God says, stop. Come into the shelter of the Most High. Come under my wing. I want to encourage you and strengthen you, and I want to fill you with what you need and equip you with what you need for the next stage. And in verse 3, it says, but when she could hide him no longer, because in the first stages when a baby's tiny, you can, well, I don't know, mine were pretty noisy, so I'm not sure how she hid him, but anyway, good for her. But in 3 months, he was obviously making a bit more noise, he was getting bigger, she was finding it more difficult, and God had asked her in that moment to move. She stepped out. She stepped out with courage. Can you imagine coming out of that hut or whatever place she was living in, had to step out and start to move in courage. She had the time with God to strengthen and prepare, and now it was time to take action. She moved to her front line. She moved to her front line to face the enemy with courage and with faith, to know that the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow was her God, and that he was more than able to do what she probably felt impossible. But she handed it to him. And she knew that he went before her and surrounded her. What a beautiful thing. And I think is what we can do. Sometimes we need to take action. I think there's always a time. There's a time to rest. There's a time to pray. But there's also a time to take action and move with God. He doesn't want us to be static. He wants us to move and go and flow in his will. And in verse 4, it says, she placed him in a basket. Oh, can you imagine water and a baby? And in that water had been all the bodies of these babies that had been put in there or thrown in there by the Egyptian people. But in that step of faith, God honored and blessed, and his plan unfolded before. You know, I was talking about equipping and preparing, and God will always supply our every need in every situation. And when she put the baby in the basket, she was with her daughter, and her daughter stood afar off. And Miriam did become a prophetess and a singer and a poet, and I wonder if her mom instructed her to do that, or did she just know in her heart God had placed something in her to know that she should stand and watch. And as she watched, she seen the baby being approached by the princess, and then the story goes on to say that Miriam quickly acted and asked the princess, would she like a Hebrew woman to come and nurse the baby and look after the baby? How beautiful is that, that God used Miriam, the daughter. And you know, God will supply our every need in every situation, whether we're on the front line or just approaching or coming out the other side. We just need to ask. We just need to place it in front of him and surrender and not hold on. She could have, Jochebed could have held on and could have ran for her life and ran for her child's life. To be fair, that's probably what I would have done. I probably would have been like, oh my goodness, run. But Jochebed had spent that time getting ready for what God wanted her to do next. She surrendered her heart and she let God do the battle. We need to remember the battle is his and not ours. When we pray and we seek him and we hand it to him, the victory is his. The battle's already been won. We just need to trust. We just need to have faith and know that our God is greater. Our God is stronger. And I'm not going to sing. Every time I say, the song comes to your mind. I love this story. of this woman who had incredible faith. And I just pray that I can have faith like that. I really find this inspirational, and I hope you do too. She had the courage to step out, even in a time of fear, of real pain and suffering. She moved out, and when Maxine was speaking, I was thinking, oh, I got quite emotional, because Maxine has been through some tough times, and in her pain, even though she struggles sometimes, hope you don't mind, Maxine, but she's pushed forward. She stepped out with courage to do love and care, and I just love that. I love that she does that, and it's so beautiful, because it's not easy. It's not easy when you're struggling, but that's such an inspirational move to do that and to have courage to do what God has entrusted, which is that heart of love, for that heart of compassion to be used for his name, for his glory. So maybe there's something that God's entrusted to you. Maybe there's something he's given to you, he's birthed inside you. Maybe he's birthed something inside you and you've been hiding it for a while. But have you been praying over it? Have you been getting ready to move with it? Have you been getting ready to take it to the next level and take action? So the big part of this story, as we all know, is that Moses, I'm not going to go into all, but we know that he grew up in Egypt, but he always identified and he knew his inheritance. He knew where he belonged. He knew he was not Egyptian. And he eventually goes to the Pharaoh and he leads the people out of Egypt into freedom. The Hebrew people were pregnant with the promises of God, and it says they groaned under the weight of slavery. Their heart's cry was for freedom, but God heard and he made a way. When there seems to be no way, and we think about that Red Sea and how they moved through there, and God made a way and used the faith and courage of a mother to birth freedom. You know, this is God's rescue plan. Isn't it amazing that he uses this for his rescue plan that he designed and carefully loved us so much that he wanted to send his only son a birth of a baby, which we all love and treasure that story of baby Jesus being born. But in that birth was freedom. So much freedom. And just like Moses was a foreshadow of Jesus's coming, and he showed the Israelites, that they could move out of slavery, and he led the way. So Jesus has come for us to rescue us and deliver us from slavery and deliver us into freedom. So church, this morning, I just pray. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that through Jochebed, Father, we can learn so much, God, that we can learn so much when we are faced with the front line, God, when we're faced with the enemy before us, when we're faced with fear, God, when things come on us and we're in a place of uncertainty, Father. Thank you, God, that you have won the battle, God. Thank you that you do battle for us and we need not do it in our own strength. Thank you, God, that you are our provider, that you supply our every need, God, that we need not try and grapple for tools and for weapons, God, but you have given us everything we need through your word, God, through faith. Father, I pray for every seed of faith that has been planted in everyone's heart this morning to be birthed, God, for freedom, Father, for freedom for hearts, God, for freedom for family, for freedom for whatever we need it for, God. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would water the seed of faith in our hearts, that we know that you've gone before us, God, that you surround us, you protect us, And Father, let us remember Jesus. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you came and you offered yourself as a sacrifice for us, that we would no longer need to be slaves, slaves to fear, slaves to sin or anything, God. Jesus, you came to set us free. And through your birth, Father, through your birth, Jesus, we thank you that you are our freedom guide, God, that you're our freedom that we need to move forward, that you're our freedom that to live life abundantly and to live life fruitfully, that people would see the glory of God. So thank you, Father, for your word, Lord. Thank you for the example of Jochebed, Jesus. And I thank you for every mother here this morning. And thank you for every heart here this morning that just loves you, God. And I just pray, Father, you would encourage their spirits this morning, Father, and that you would encourage them that they're seen and they're known by you. Every hair on their head is known. And God, thank you for their story that you've woven in your grace and your love, that you've been there in the quiet times, in the unseen. So thank you, God. We celebrate you this morning, God, and we thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, let's get the band back up if we can. Thanks. I think we should sing that song one more time. How great is our God? He's the name above all names. And as you go in your week, I just pray that you can lift his name high. And in every circumstance, as Jill said, we can look vertically, not to the left, not to the right. But remember, our God goes before us. He's paved the way. He's made a way, whatever that looks like. We sometimes can't anticipate the direction, but God knows. Just lay it down. He will make a way and supply our every need. Thank you, church.